SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organisation a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.
Another SBS Pop Asia podcast. It's The Anime Show with Joey and Aki.
Welcome back to another episode of The Anime Show with Joey and Aki. I'm your host, Joey.
And I'm your co-host, Aki. And in this episode, we're going to be giving our own review of Netflix Originals' Devil Man Crybaby.
If you enjoy the show, make sure to like, favorite, rate, and share it with all of your friends. So, what we're going to be talking about in this episode is a little Netflix original. Do we need to explain what Netflix is to people, or is that just like second nature to the youths of today?
Devil Man Crybaby!
Okay, whatever. So basically, as Aki just really shouted out just then, we're going to be talking about a show called Devilman Crybaby. Now, Devilman Crybaby, for those of you who don't know, is a Netflix original anime series. And, you know, I know a lot of people are already worried just from hearing those words because we're just like, the words Netflix and anime don't really mash together well. If you guys are familiar with our show or just what was going on in the anime community in 2017, you would know that there was a genius anime Netflix original called Neo Yokyo, which, I mean, did you, like, enjoy Neo Yokyo?
You know what? I enjoyed it in the aspect that it tried. And that
you enjoyed it ironically, yeah. Right? Like, you didn't actually enjoy it.
Nah.
I don't know
if you're talking about pain. If you're talking about pain, Death Note live action was that. But
if
you're talking about, like, enjoyment for the anime, for exactly as it is, well, it hasn't happened yet. At least not with Netflix originals in anime, which there hasn't been a lot. I think it's really only been Neo Yokyo, Violet Evergarden, and also Devilman Crybaby. How did I almost forget that? But yeah.
How did you almost forget about the show that we're going to be talking about today?
It's okay.
But basically, Devilman Crybaby is phenomenal. If we just were to say it in one word and we didn't have to dedicate an entire podcast or video to it, I mean, which we have and are, then it's great. It's fantastic. Aki and I both love it. A lot of people who watched Devil May Cry Baby said they loved it. So we're, I guess, just going to be talking about it further. So what are your thoughts about it? I think, at the time of us recording this, Aki's already made a video on Devil May Cry Baby, and I'm actually in the process of editing mine. So Aki, why don't you start?
I like it.
You want to go a little bit further than that? Otherwise, this podcast will be 2 minutes long.
I like it a lot. No, but Devilman Crybaby. It was like really, really great on just like the heavy symbolism in it. I just gotta say that. I said it in my video, but there's just so much symbolism in this, and I would say a lot of biblical themes to it, a lot of biblical symbolisms as far as the relationship between the two characters go. But for those of you that don't know, Devilman Crybaby, it's basically, I guess, one spin-off of the series, right?
The chronology of Devilman is kind of weird. So, Devilman Crybaby is an adaptation of a Nagai Gore manga from 1974 called Devilman. And there's, like, a bunch of spin-offs of it. So, like, Violence Jack is a series that is, like, a sequel to Devilman. And then there's also Devil Lady, which I don't think has had an adaptation yet, but it's a pretty good manga. So, basically, this is just, like, another... There's already been, like, two or three different adaptations of Devilman before, like, in anime. And this is just, like... a new, way more, adult version? Because, like, I don't know if you've... Have you read the manga or watched, like, the original animes?
I had no idea that this was even a thing before Netflix did it, so that only shows how much it was pushed this time.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I presume, like, for a lot of people, this is probably the first time they ever were, like, you know, they ever saw or heard anything about Devilman. But basically, it's a manga from, like, almost 50 years ago at this point. So it's not exactly a brand new concept. And there's been, I think, two OVAs of Devilman, like, from the 80s and 90s, I think. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is basically just a brand new version. Like, I guess Masaaki Yuasa is the director, by the way. He was just like, hey, I want to make Devilman. I can make Devilman, and I can make it feel new and refreshing again.
Wait, that was Masaaki Yuasa that was part of it?
Yeah, Masaaki Yuasa directed it.
I'm so stupid. I gotta go contact that company again. I just got an opportunity to go meet him and interview him, and I'm like, oh, I don't know who that is. So I was just,
oh, is that like the Sundance Film Festival, whatever it was?
Yeah, but they asked if I wanted to interview the guy, and I was just like,
because I got that same email, and they were like, hey, do you want to have a phone call with Masaaki Yuasa? I'm like, yes.
Yeah, so I will get back with them after this. if you guys are watching this, know that I'm interested in it. We'll talk later. Yeah, call me. You okay, Masaaki? Yeah. Anyways, back to Devilman. Yeah, loved it. And I don't know, with the art style compared to all of the other, I guess, adaptations that I've gotten a glimpse of from the past, this one's definitely a lot newer. Surprisingly,
well, I mean,
I've seen quite a few memes from this, which I didn't think that there would be many from this.
Really? There were memes about Devilman? I haven't seen any.
Yeah, I saw quite a couple. I think it's just, they're kind of a stretch, though, to be honest. But I think it's more of a demand that people really want, like, a separate original or maybe, like, an OVA dedicated simply to the rappers of Devilman Crybaby.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like, obviously, Masaaki Yuasa took, like, a really old concept and added, like, a bunch of, like, modern twists on it. Like, he completely understands that, like, this is an old series, and if we adapt it exactly the same way, then people on Netflix aren't really gonna enjoy it. And, like, the fact that he added, like, you know, rappers and stuff like that, like, he's clearly thinking about an international audience as well. Like, just to make it, like, a little bit more, like, not too Japanese or anything, and, like, not too old. Like, he's obviously understanding, like, the Netflix audience and, like, the modern anime audience and being like, oh, yeah, this is what the youths of today enjoy.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that was definitely a really, really good touch. But at the same time, I'm like, you know what, maybe a big portion of that might have just been his own idea, because, like, that rapping was still symbolic, just like a lot of things in that anime in the writing, because like that rapping, every time that they did it, for those of you that haven't watched it, it's this, these three characters, they periodically just get together and they start rapping. It's really just to kind of put in some filler, but if you really look at what they're rapping about, they're explaining the story, and then they're also explaining the philosophy of what that whole anime is about. Like, one of them was basically a rap about, like, questioning or really being in shock of the fact that they're in a world where demons and devils exist. So basically the rap goes as, oh, look, there's all these demons and everyone's freaking out, but I don't really know why they're freaking out, because humans are just as evil as demons. So that's basically what the rap was saying, which I thought was really cool.
I was just gonna say, like, it's kind of like genius of Masaaki Yuasa to, like, do that, because it's like it's just a clever and more interesting way to, like, explain story rather than, like, two characters sitting down and being like, okay, this is what the story is about, which, like, too many anime series have, like, unfortunately done. Like, we're sick of, like, a cafe scene, you know, of, like, two characters sitting down and being like, okay, we are going to explain the plot now in this really boring way, whereas Masaaki Yuasa was like, I'm just gonna make a rap about it.
Well, I mean, I gotta give credit to, like, those rappers. Maybe he stumbled upon them and he just kind of wanted to give them some slack, you know? But I really want to look them up. I have no idea who they are, but after this podcast, I think it's
just the voice actors, isn't it?
Do you think so? Because I don't know, man. Like, that was,
I feel like, I don't know, from what I heard, it just sounded like the voice actors were rapping. So either the voice actors learned how to rap, or they already knew how to rap, or they got rappers who are also voice actors.
Okay.
I mean, whatever is the case, it's impressive. But, no, yeah, like, have you seen anything else that Masaaki Yuasa ever did?
If I did, then I would not have known. If I listed off a bunch of ones,
then would you know any of them?
In a nutshell, are they the ones that are, like, pretty old, like, just as old as Devilman?
No. They're, like, he's done, I think he's directed, like, I want to say, like, 6 or 7 series. But, like, some of the more notable ones are, and I don't know if you've seen them, but you probably heard the names of them. He did Tatami Galaxy.
Okay.
He also did Kaiba. He did... What else did he do? Oh, and he actually... His visuals were so weird that he actually... There's this one episode of Adventure Time that he directed and wrote. And it's easily one of the weirdest episodes of Adventure Time. Like, that... Adventure Time is already weird, but that one episode that Masaaki Yuasa wrote and directed was just, like, on a whole other level of strange. He also did, do you know Ping Pong the Animation?
I've heard of it, but I've seen the cover too, so if that was him.
Yeah, I mean, it's that really, like, weird-looking ping pong anime. You've probably seen, like, visuals of it. But basically, like,
yeah.
Like, all of Masaaki Yuasa's stuff, like, the visuals are, like, kind of, like, the same format. Like, it's kind of, like, this really stylized, like, almost underdeveloped-looking characters.
Yeah, it's really minimalistic and just a lot of solid colors.
Yeah, and just, like, a ton of symbolism, like, in everything that he does. Like, in all of his visuals, like, it's not just Devilman, which is great. Like, he's, like, sticking to, like, his roots of directing, where it's, like, everything he shows is, like, some kind of... Can be, you know, connected to some kind of symbolism.
Wait, we didn't even talk about what Devilman Crybaby really is about.
Oh, well, okay. You want to explain that?
Yeah, sure. Devilman Crybaby, in a nutshell, two boys, Ryo and Akira, and they grow up together. Akira is a crybaby, and Ryo decides that he wants to do an experiment to harness the power of a demon. In order to do so, it has to host a human, but that human has to have a strong enough heart to fight against the demon's, to really give in to the demon. Because once a demon possesses a human, that human is no longer themselves. They basically just become an empty vessel. And they lose all willpower. So if you have a pure heart, which is Akira, you can gain the powers of a demon, but still have your humanity intact. So you'll still think, feel, and act just like a human. And Ryo accomplishes this through Akira. And so Akira becomes basically the term devil man. He is both devil and he is man. He has the powers of a devil, but he has the humanity and the heart of a man. So he uses his powers to fight for humanity rather than fighting for the demons. And throughout the anime, you see that demons often try to pull, I guess, Akira to their side. And then humans, they kind of shut out Akira. But Akira is just kind of, like, very conflicted of trying to find where he fits in. It's super cool. I definitely would suggest it to you guys. And you'll see the meaning of why it's called Devil Man Crybaby. And that's kind of where the biblical themes... a lot of those biblical themes are things like... Well, the devil in, you know, just the Bible is seen as, like, the enemy of the world, the enemy of humanity, the enemy of God. It's, right. Like, the ultimate antagonist. And so, in the world of Devilman, that's exactly what it is. So, but with Akira, he does have the body and the powers of a demon, but he's probably more pure-hearted than any other human being on that planet. And so it was really interesting to see that because, well, I'm not going to give any other spoilers, but basically you just kind of see what they're sort of doing here by having a very conflicting image that a devil is forgiving humans for all of the corruption that's happened in their world, for all of the mean things that have ever been done or said to him by other humans. He still has the guts to say, like, I don't want to hurt you. I would never hurt anybody. I want you to be happy. I want you to be safe. And then because he's a devil, he's discriminated against. He's shut out by humans and they won't listen to him. They're like, you're a devil. Why should we believe you? When really the words coming out of his mouth, it's just common sense of humanity. So right. I just feel like just the imagery of it is the symbolism. The fact that he is a devil forgiving humans, because I guess like in the biblical standpoint, because they are going to use terms from the Bible in this anime, is that he is the devil forgiving humanity.
Yeah, and like, and that's like an aspect that I guess Devilman, I don't know if Devilman was the first to do it, but definitely Devilman is one of the most like, I guess, famous examples of it. And
prominent?
It's ominous, yeah, that's the word. It's one of the most ominous and powerful examples of how you can use that kind of symbolism. And it's and it's a, you know, an aspect that a lot of anime that follow Devilman have used in stride. Like, you know, what's a famous example? Evangelion was hugely inspired by Devilman. Berserk, which is one of my personal favorites, hugely inspired by Devilman. There have just been a lot of different kinds of manga and anime that have taken different aspects of Devilman. I don't know if we're going to go into, like, thoughts about the ending. Because I know you have, like, a lot of questions about it, considering this is the first time you ever, I guess, like, what's the word, like, you know, got into Devilman, or, like, you know, ever heard about Devilman?
Well, to be fair, I think this might be the first time for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, definitely. Did you want to like talk into it? Like, did we want to go into spoiler territory here? Or?
Well, we're gonna kind of like end it here for those of you that don't want any spoilers. Just our final thoughts on Devilman, spoil free, is that you guys should definitely watch it. I think this is a great step for Netflix. I've been super impressed, considering, you know, with the publishings of like Neo Yokio, and then now we've got Devilman and also Violet Evergarden, but I don't know what the heck they're doing with Violet Evergarden. I think that they're kind of stepping into like that realization that Japan has like a kind of a weird thing when it comes to licensing their anime.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I think that Netflix is definitely starting to license like some really good ones. That or just Happenstance. They might still not know what they're doing. They just happen to get some good anime on their table. Because at the end of the day, Netflix isn't actually making any of these. They're just the ones that are publishing it. They're just the ones that are just like, okay, here you go. We'll take it. But yeah, definitely go watch Devilman. Do you need to watch or read any of the previous ones? No. But, I mean, it'd be great to compare it to if you want, but it's an original story. You can just follow it through with Netflix like I did, and I think that you'll like it just as much. You might have your own reasonings of why you don't like it. I know that there were a couple people being like, I don't know why this anime is so praised. But I will say that with fans of the Devilman series, just to give a tiny bit more credit to those of you that are skeptical on watching it, Devilman fans that I know have said that a lot did change with the Netflix original, like a lot. However, it's one of those rare cases that the twist that they did do still worked. So if you looked at that, you could still call that like the vision of Go Nagai.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, also just a quick forewarning that it's pretty violent and pretty sexual. So
yes.
If you are a young child, we do not recommend it.
Yeah, so I think right now we're just kind of gonna go into like our full thoughts, spoilers and all. So for those of you that have stuck around until this point, get ready because spoilers are coming. So if you don't want them, get out. But yeah, so, oh man, that ending, dude. Let's, you start off.
Yeah, so, okay. Well, you asked me... when was it? I think it was like before I had even seen it. That were you satisfied or dissatisfied with the ending? I genuinely want to know as a person who's never watched or read Devilman up until now.
Yes and no. I was satisfied because at the same time Rio got to feel like the pain he caused all of humanity, and I was at first very confused of what the heck just happened with the whole Evangelion looking aesthetic. I'm guessing
because that ending scene was just completely like, it's just like, it's just End of Evangelion. Well, like, the whole thing.
It looked like, if I'm not mistaken, that those were angels or God that came down and to fix everything or to reset everything, because when Rio destroyed everything.
It wasn't devils. It was, or angels or anything. It's basically... It's basically the anime ends exactly the same way as the manga, like completely, like scene for scene. And it ends with basically the world coming to an end. Like that's basically the angels, or, you know, quote unquote Satan, as he's known in the anime, basically destroying the world, because that's how they originally came to the Earth. And that's how it was foretold, like, ever since Satan came down to Earth. I did hear that a lot of people were, obviously a ton of people were shocked, like, when they saw what's the face's head on a pike, you know?
Oh, Mika?
And when Mika's head was on a pike and, like, basically her shocking death, So, like, yeah, it's obviously a big shock, and I completely, I saw it coming because I had heard that it ends the exact same way as the manga, so I'm like, oh, okay, it'd be interesting to see what it was like. But, I don't know, man, like, I don't understand how people were dissatisfied with the anime's ending, because I don't think it can end in any other way.
Well, okay, first off, can you please answer, like, is the world resetting? The angels came down after Satan, while Satan was crying. The angels came down, and it looks like that there's another Earth, and it's habitable.
No, the world isn't resetting. The world is ending.
But it did. Wait. But another thing showed up that looked exactly like the Earth.
I don't think that was an Earth. I think that was just, like, another moon, just to symbolize, like, a new beginning, quote-unquote, to the Earth that was destroyed and has no longer any humans left on it. I think that's what the symbolism about. I honestly don't remember moon appearing in the manga.
I kept reading up on, like, the ending on that last episode, and people were saying that it was resetting, like, that one of the theories was that Rio has done this before, or that like this exact, I guess, predicament has happened, and so that's why there are Earths next to it that looked exactly the same. It's like, right. It's a continuous loop that Rio never learns, right. But I don't know if that's true or not. But, as far as if I was satisfied or dissatisfied, I was actually kind of in the middle. Like, it was pretty powerful. I think I was just very mixed because it was more emotion mixed. It sucks that Akira had to die, and I'm like, is that literally just it? Like, everyone just died? What did I learn from that? Mm. Like, what is there to take away from it? And I had to kind of dig through any... I guess, messages, and the only thing I really got is that Rio just felt the pain he caused everybody, and so I'm just like, I guess that's it. I guess the moral is don't be mean.
Basically,
don't cause war. Don't talk. I don't know.
Well, that's basically like the whole reason why the original manga was just so shocking at the time it came out, because there was very little manga series that ever, like, went that distance, you know, of like, oh my god, everyone's actually dead.
Yeah, so because, like, you know, at the same time, do you really need to take something away from every story that you ever hear, watch, or read? Sometimes it's just to go down a spiral of chaos and understand that sometimes this can happen, and if the option is there, why not be the writer to do it?
Sometimes the world and everyone in it just kind of sucks, and have fun sleeping tonight.
I mean, that it did paint the picture of, like, you know, again, with biblical themes being in this anime, of what Revelations would have been, or like the end of the world really is. Like, just because it's a story doesn't mean that it's obligated to save at least one person. The only person that was saved was Rio, but that's because he caused everything. But at the end of the day, he won, but he also lost at the same time.
Right.
Like, he won in the sense that he did what he had to do, or what he felt like he had to do, which was get rid of humanity. But he lost because he understood, like, love. That whole time in the anime, not one time did he understand Ryo or Akira's emotions towards humanity. He's like, I don't understand why you care so much about these people. And not once did Ryo take into consideration that Akira is human. So it's like, how would you feel if Akira was lost? And I don't think Ryo ever took that into account. And so to see him weep was a pretty heavy thing. So I think it's just kind of hard to deal with this kind of story where everyone just dies, because I think people expect more, because usually that happens. So it's hard to more so accept that that's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's, well, I mean, yeah, I guess that's why it was such an interesting, again, like, it just winds back to, like, basically taking, you know, taking back everyone's expectations for a story that had such a massive build-up, you know? Like, no one was, you know, like, I think that's what was interesting, it was that, like, you know, originally in the original manga, and even this series, like, you know, there was this whole thing of, like, Devilman is the hero that will save all of humanity and blah, 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 but, like, you know, they keep up this persona of, like, this hero, but it just spirals more and more out of control and never really gets there at the end. Like, at the end of it all, like, you know, everyone is just kind of screwed. Like, there's no hero, everybody sucks equally, and that's gonna be it. Like, that's the end. So I always thought, like, that was super interesting. And I guess, like, you know, that's the whole reason why a lot of these, like, post-apocalyptic series, like Neon Genesis Evangelion, Berserk, all of these, like, massive series, had took such inspiration from that, because there was just nothing quite like Devilman. And, you know, again, even if it's, like, almost a 50-year-old series, Masaaki Yuasa does it again. He just makes it even more screwed up than before. But I guess that worked, because...
Yeah.
The whole shock value just, you know, it just worked.
Yeah, and again, like, it's just a lot for people to take in this kind of story, because with as much action and as much, like, philosophy and build-up as there was, to see all of that just plummet down into nothing, I think it's something that a lot of us aren't even used to. Critics could probably disagree with me and say that, oh, it's just lazy writing. But I would say it's just because he felt like killing everybody, because that's the harsh truth about, I guess, the world of Devilman Crybaby, is that Ryo had a goal and he accomplished it. And now he has to feel the pain of what it was like.
Right.
But I would say that you and I are kind of familiar with some stories that just like to plummet down into just disgusting, infested, like, hopelessness. And...
Well, yeah.
I would say,
like, Berserk is one of my favorite manga series of all time, hands down, and that is all sorts of messed up.
But I mean, the hero eventually does get back up on his feet in Berserk.
Yes and no. See, Berserk's like, I mean, we can talk about Berserk for like another. I don't want to talk too much about Berserk because, like, I know you haven't really read it yet. But, like, for those of you who have read Berserk, you'd understand that, like, yeah, the hero does kind of come back, but also not really. Like, did you also notice at the end of the episode, by the way, that there was, like, they were looking into an eclipse? Like, Dior and Akira, like, when they were little, like, they were looking into an eclipse, and then, like, the light from within the trees, like, it formed a ring.
Oh, I didn't, it might have just gone right past me.
It was a very subtle scene, but basically...
Man, I missed the eclipse even in anime.
Yep. But basically, that eclipse scene, which, you know, was also in the original manga, like, that was one of the biggest inspirations for Berserk's eclipse scene. So, basically, to end this podcast off, go watch Devilman Crybaby, it's awesome. I also recommend reading the original manga or any of the adaptations. And there's also a sequel to it called Violence Jack, whose OVA was, not that great, but go read the manga. Nagai Gore is awesome. He's very, very, I'd say, I don't want to say he's an underappreciated writer, But I guess in today's standards, there are just so little people who have read any of his manga. But if you read it, then you'll understand very quickly how influential his stuff is. Like, he's a very talented mangaka that deserves a little bit more praise, in my opinion. But yeah, guys, let us know what your thoughts are on Devilman and any of the stuff that we talked about by using our specialized hashtag on Twitter. What was it again, Aki?
SBS Anime.
SBS Anime over on Twitter. Hashtag SBS Anime. Let us know your thoughts on Devilman or Nagai Gore stuff. Did you enjoy Devilman Crybaby? Or maybe it really wasn't your cup of tea. We'd like to know. But anyways, guys, thank you very much for listening in to another episode of The Anime Show with Joey and Aki. If you enjoyed it, then make sure to like, comment, rate, and share it with all of your friends. It helps out the podcast a lot. And also, if you enjoy our voices, then maybe you want to hop on over to our YouTube channels, The Anime Man and Aki Dearest. We talk about all sorts of different anime, Japanese culture stuff, all of that good stuff. So we'd appreciate the support. Anyways, guys, thanks for listening in again, and we will see you guys next week.
The Anime Show, SBS Pop Asia.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organization a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.